Having given my life to Jesus in 1973, I've been a Christian for quite a few years now. I've attended many different churches, read more than a few Christian books, listened to quite a number of Bible teachings, many of them were on cassette tapes during my early years, and I've seen a number of Christian leaders rise and fall. I've also witnessed the unraveling and fall of ordinary Christians, men and women who once seemed to love Jesus supremely, but through the years grew cold in their faith and eventually succumbed to the temptations of the evil one. The most notable ministry disgraces and scandals are, of course, the sexual ones. These are the ones that end up on the evening news and get even non-Christians talking. You can almost hear the chorus of demons singing, "Another one bites the dust." But for every pastor, evangelist, or worship leader who falls into sexual sin, there are probably a dozen ordinary Christians who also fall in this way. Almost none of these planned it, expected it, or even thought it possible to end up in a foreign bed, but it still happened. A few minutes or a few months of illicit pleasure, and then came the consequences. Broken marriages, scarred children, divorce courts, attorney's fees, gossip, lies, and deceit. When the dust clears, the Church of Jesus Christ has taken another hit, and families have been split asunder. It is not pretty. Not all falls from grace are of the sexual sort. Bob Pierce, the founder of World Vision, was an incredibly gifted minister of the gospel with tremendous charisma. In his early years of ministry, it seemed that almost everything he touched turned to gold. Bob had a tremendous measure of compassion for the poor and hurting in the world, and founded World Vision as a Christian charity aimed at helping orphans and poor children in underdeveloped nations. The ministry took off like a shot and grew in leaps and bounds. But while at the apex of his success, Bob seemed to unravel. Even though he was gone more than he was home, he couldn't seem to get along with his wife, and left her to live in an apartment a short distance away. His wife loved him and sought to reconcile with him, but Bob would have none of it, and refused to even see her. Bob's angry personality affected his relationship with his ministry board as well. Eventually, they insisted that he step down from the helm and they hired a new president. Pierce had been forced out of the incredibly successful ministry that he had founded and shaped. He was able to find new means of ministry, but never at the previous level. Bob finally died of cancer, living alone in his apartment. Even though his wife begged him to allow her to care for him during his last days, he refused. Finally, as his sickness progressed, he allowed her and their girls to share a meal with him, and shortly after that he was dead. Bob Pierce's problem was not a lack of gifts. He had gifts most of us could only dream of, but somehow he seemed to lack the character and stability that would have enabled him to successfully navigate the transition from fiery young minister to seasoned, mature statesmen in the body of Christ. In successful ministry, two of the necessary major components are gifts and character. Most of us tend to focus on the gifts. If a man or a woman is a great speaker, or singer, or writer, we assume that this individual must surely be very godly and possess sterling character. Otherwise, why would God anoint and bless his or her ministry this way? But anointing and talent do not always guarantee character. To be impressive on stage or behind a pulpit does not indicate that one is impressive in his daily life, in his relationships, or regarding all those critical small decisions that add up to integrity. Our gifts are our weapons, our unique talents and divine enablement through the Holy Spirit to destroy the devil's work and bring glory to God. God's gifts in the lives of his children are beautiful and wonderful to behold, and they are awesome in the incredible amount of good they can accomplish. But these gifts are never supposed to stand alone. Gifts without character are a disaster waiting to happen. The arrival of that disaster is not a matter of if, but of when. Our Christ-like character must be the foundation for our gifts if we hope to carry those gifts for a lifetime without scandal or failure or disgrace. The problem of the prodigal son was not that he had too much money. Some people manage to go through this life with a great deal of money, and yet they do much good for the world and never fall into disgrace. Money itself does not guarantee corruption. The prodigal son's problem was that he insisted on his inheritance far too early. He got the money, as he demanded, but he didn't have the character to use the money wisely. His immaturity, selfishness, and love for pleasure caused him to quickly squander all his wealth. Money, without the wisdom to manage it well, is a curse instead of a blessing. And so it is with spiritual riches and gifts. Anointing, talent, charisma, and the ability to speak or sing are all wonderful gifts and graces from our Heavenly Father,